This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts. bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
From partygoers to poor farmers, drugs play a central role in many people's lives. They destroy some people. Others are made wealthy and powerful. Drugs, narcotics, are the topic on today's Insight Plus, a series first broadcast in 2001 that looks at the language of issues you hear about in the news. Here's Lise Doucette.
The international drugs trade is worth, at the very least, $400 billion every year. That's a huge slice of the global economic output. It's no surprise, then, that narcotics, a term you'll hear as often as the word drugs, feature in our news reports. We'll be looking at the language used to describe the origins of the most powerful and addictive of drugs. Let's start with one of the most serious, heroin. It's part of a group often referred to as hard drugs, the most harmful narcotics. Soft drugs like hashish and marijuana may be less harmful, but in most countries, they are still illegal substances. Whether a drug is hard or soft seems to depend on how addictive they are. The more addictive, the more dependent the drug taker becomes. They often develop a habit, a strong need to take the drug. That can end tragically for drug users. They risk taking an overdose and could die when they accidentally consume too much of the drug. The issue of drugs featured recently in Analysis, a program on BBC World Service Radio. Let's listen to Eric Sterling. He's the president of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation, based in Washington.
The drug issue is a very powerful issue. It's so powerful that even conversation about it is frowned upon. It is an untouchable subject in American political life. If you listen to the debates between Al Gore and George Bush, drugs are not mentioned because it's a subject waiting to explode if it's so much as touched. Crime and drugs flow together as one phrase in American political discourse. And there is only one dialect when you talk about drugs and crime in America, and that's talking tough.
Different countries take very different approaches. Some, like the United States, adopt a hard line. That's when no drug use of any kind is tolerated. Others aren't as strict. For example, the Netherlands allows some personal use of soft drugs like cannabis. But as you heard in that report, drugs and crime go hand in hand. They are inseparable. It's no surprise, then, that there are calls for global action against them. One person urging a war against drugs is the director of the United States National Drug Control Policy. When General Barry McCaffrey visited London to discuss an international fight against drugs, the BBC's World Service was there to report.
General McCaffrey was jeered and barracked when he arrived at a London college for the launch of an internet site about drug use. His hardline approach to combating illegal drug use is controversial. He says Britain and the United States would be poorly advised to copy the permissive attitude to soft drugs taken by countries like the Netherlands. And he lauds Sweden's stringent anti-drugs laws.
Drugs and the dangers of drugs are the subject of today's Insight Plus from the BBC World Service. It's your guide to the language and background to the stories that stay in the news. We've already mentioned how drugs and crime go together. Our next report concerns the crime of smuggling, moving drugs from one country to another. The drug in this case is another hard drug, cocaine. The person carrying the drugs, the smuggler, was arrested in Miami in the southern United States.
The 19-year-old son of Maria Ines Restrepo, the director of the National Drug Crop Substitution Program, has been arrested in Miami for smuggling drugs. Mrs. Restrepo is in charge of the Colombian program to persuade coca farmers, who grow the raw material for cocaine, to switch over to legal crops. Her son was arrested trying to smuggle cocaine into the U.S. Mrs. Restrepo said that while she was suffering enormously as a mother, she would continue her work against the drugs that are causing so much damage to Colombia's youth. She added that she hoped that the people who had made her son act as a drug mule would be made to pay the price. The use of mules, often women and even children, to carry drugs into the U.S. is very common, and drug traffickers often saturate flights with several mules.
The 19-year-old we heard about acted as a drug mule. Like an animal, he was simply carrying narcotics from one place to another. Women and children are often selected as mules because they don't attract as much suspicion as a man travelling on his own. But the masterminds behind this smuggling are drug traffickers, the people trading in these illegal commodities. The arrest was in Miami, but where did the drugs come from?
The 19-year-old son of Maria Ines Restrepo, the director of the National Drug Crop Substitution Program, has been arrested in Miami for smuggling drugs. Mrs. Restrepo is in charge of the Colombian program to persuade coca farmers, who grow the raw material for cocaine, to switch over to legal crops.
The cocaine came from Colombia, a country in the northern part of South America. It's estimated that 80% of the world's cocaine comes from there. Cocaine is made from the leaves of the coca plant, native to South America. Coca leaves have been chewed by South American Indians for thousands of years, and their uses include religious, social, and medical practices. But now the fight is to persuade coca farmers to switch over, to change to legal crops like agricultural production. This struggle isn't confined just to South America and the coca plant. There's another deadly drug in circulation that we heard about earlier, heroin. It too begins life as a simple plant, the opium poppy. The world's largest producer of this flower is Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Iran, and Pakistan make up the region known as the Golden Crescent, and it's overtaken the area which once produced the largest amounts of opium poppies. That was called the Golden Triangle, Burma, Thailand, and Laos. According to the United Nations, Afghanistan produced 75% of the world's poppies in 1999. The poppy flower starts life as an innocent-looking plant that can grow to a meter tall or even higher, with attractive flowers in white, pink, red, or purple. Heroin is frowned upon by Afghans. They disapprove of this drug and this traditional Islamic culture. But for many poor farmers, poppies are the easiest, most profitable crop to grow. The Afghan authorities say they're determined to destroy the crop completely, but they have issued orders in the past which haven't been followed. So the international community is watching closely to see what happens on the ground. Organizations like the United Nations have long financed crop substitution programs, trying to persuade farmers to switch to crops like wheat. But any successes are often temporary.
While opium use is traditionally frowned on by Afghans, impoverished farmers returning to their ruined farms have no other cash crop to grow. The Taliban say they've banned the planting of opium poppies. Their spokesman in New York is Abdul Hakim Mujahid.
Our policy is very clear. Drug production, drug consumption and drug trafficking were already prohibited according to the law of the country. There was only problem of poppy cultivation. While it has been banned according to the decree of the head of the government, His Excellency Mullah Muhammad Umar Mujahid, next year, you will see that a single plant, a poppy, will not be cultivated in Afghanistan.
Poppy-growing farmers are at the bottom of a powerful system which benefits from this trade. Local drug smugglers take the opium collected from the poppies to factories along the border with neighbouring Pakistan or just inside Pakistan itself. There, opium is processed into heroin paste and then it's smuggled through Iran or Central Asia to markets in the West. The further it goes, the more money it makes. Afghan farmers earn about $31 for every kilogram. 10 kilograms of raw opium make about a kilogram of uncut heroin, and that can sell for up to $88,000 on the streets of Britain and the United States. The Islamic authorities in neighboring Iran are locked in a war against drugs. They say they've lost thousands of troops in the battle against well-armed drug smugglers along their mountainous border. They've built concrete barriers and dug deep trenches to stop the vehicles from crossing. But the smugglers can still go by foot or use camels. Iran now recognizes it's also facing a crisis of rising drug addiction among its 60 million people. A recent government report spoke of 1 million regular hard drug users. From Asia, we return to South America to hear of another effort to stop or to stem the flow of drugs. As well as spraying the coca crops, the United States hopes to train officials in Colombia so they'll be more effective against the traffickers. But the traffickers are organized into groups, often called cartels. In effect, they're powerful businesses with criminal networks funded by their huge profits. This report by the BBC's Richard Hamilton is about a visit to Colombia by the former American President Bill Clinton. He mentions two key objectives the aid to Colombia should achieve. Listen out for them.
Aircraft spraying coca crops in Colombia. In August, President Clinton pledged $1.3 billion to Colombia in a bid to stem the supply of cocaine.
Please do not misunderstand our purpose. We have no military objective. Our approach is both pro-peace and anti-drug. Our assistance will help train and equip Colombia's counter-drug battalions to protect the national police as they eradicate illicit drug crops and destroy drug labs.
Those key initiatives are to eradicate drug crops or to eliminate them completely and to destroy the places where the drugs are made, the drug labs or factories. Today on Insight Plus, we've heard how drugs, particularly the more harmful ones, can destroy individuals who take them and become addicted. And we've heard how many people benefit from the production and sale of narcotics. The international battle against the drug trade is getting stronger, but so are the forces which profit from it.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.